views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or call 1-800-930-2819 during the live broadcast. You can also listen live and download the free show app at TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. It's my pleasure to be with you again today. So I have a question for you. Do you think you're not big enough? Are you vertically challenged, I mean? And do you believe that tall guys are luckier in the horizontal mambo department? Well, if you think your height is shortchanging your dating prospects, you're going to want to stick around and meet David Bennett. Because today we're going to talk about how you can stand tall in life and love, even if you are actually horizontally challenged. So let me tell you a little bit about David Bennett. He's been active in business since 2003, producing online content that's accessed by millions of yearly visitors. He's the co-author of 6 books, and as a dating coach, he works with the largest matchmaking service in Central Ohio. His insights have been featured in Brickle Magazine, Girls Life, and Augusta Family Magazine. He's appeared on the Joel Riley Morning Show on 610 WTVN and on WBNS 10 TV. Now, David graduated magna cum laude in 2000 from Ohio University with a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and summa cum laude from Emory University with a master's degree. He became a certified practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming in 2015. Now, back in 2010, David, along with his brother Jonathan, explored why some guys were socially successful. Why did some guys have lots of friends, have women begging for their attention, and advance easily at work, while others were lonely and dateless with dead-end jobs? And after thousands of hours of research and field testing, they developed the science of popularity. And after finding out that any guy can become more popular and attractive by learning a few basic skills, their next question was, why doesn't anybody teach guys these skills? And every guy wants to date pretty women, be the center of attention, and get the admiration of his friends and coworkers. Yet many guys become frustrated when they remain single and invisible to everybody. And nobody was helping guys learn these skills until David and Jonathan started doing it with the popular man. So without further ado, let's say hello to David Bennett.
Well, thanks for having me, Dr. Love. I appreciate that.
It's nice to have you.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Usually they say that whenever we focus on a topic, whether we focus on it as a professional or whether we focus on it as a novelist, it's because we have hands-on experience with the topic. So are you and your brother vertically challenged?
We are. Yes, we are vertically challenged. I'm not sure. I haven't looked up the term horizontal mambo yet, but when I do, I probably assume I know what it means. But
you can guess.
I'm not sure if Urban Dictionary has a page for that or not, but we
look up what Dr. Love means by the horizontal mambo.
I'll have to look up. I'll do that later.
I think I heard Robin Williams say it in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a vertically challenged. He was a vertically challenged guy, too. So,
yeah, and he got the horizontal mambo going on. So, Okay, we're done with the whole story. So you and your brother, both of you, are not the tallest guys.
That's correct. Yes, I am, depending on the shoe, got to emphasize that. I'm around 5'7" and he is around 5'5" or so. So we grew up, obviously, we were always usually the shorter kids growing up, and that continued, of course, throughout high school and into adulthood.
Now, isn't that interesting? Because you are taller than my husband was. My husband would always say, I'm 5'6". He was French, and they would say it that way.
Yeah.
And everybody thought he was an extremely tall man.
Really? At 5'6", huh?
Very tall, because he had an incredible power and charisma, very successful, magnetic personality, and people used to think he was over 6 feet tall. So doesn't that just confirm really what you and your brother are talking about?
Yeah, that actually does. I think there are actually studies that show that people perceive more charismatic and outgoing and even successful and famous people as taller than they actually are. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And he was not tall. Not at all. So when you're not a tall guy, I imagine not having grown up as a not tall guy, I grew up as a short woman. And I think we can talk about that. That's a different experience for women versus men. Shorter guys, don't they get passed over for sports as well?
Unless they're really good, yeah, that tends to be what happens.
And certainly for basketball, if you're not tall, you're
SOL. Yeah, I mean, even in football, my brother and I were in high school, we played football. It was kind of funny reading the programs they put out because they always way overestimated our heights in the programs because they'd list everybody's height when they listed out the team names. I think I was listed at like 5'7 or something. I mean, 5'9. They wanted me to, you know, they wanted to put us a little more intimidating than we were, I think. So yeah, even in football, most sports height, unless you're a jockey, I guess, in most sports height is an advantage because it gives you more size.
And then, you know, I was just talking with a patient, David, right before we came on air, and he was talking about the fact that he was always passed over as a kid in sports events because he wasn't athletic. He said, I couldn't throw a ball, and it really did damage to his self-esteem. You know, when you don't fit in with the other guys, when you're not really feeling like a successful athlete, did that hurt you and your brother?
Well, my brother and I, you know, we had one thing going for us in high school, which was that we were really funny and very social. So we would often we weren't usually the last picked. So we didn't really experience a lot of that rejection. We were actually pretty athletic. Our dad played baseball in college, for example. So we got some natural athletics, excuse me. So height, you know, played into that some. In basketball, yeah, we were usually the last chosen. But in other sports, we were a little more competitive. But certainly a lot of short guys have that experience, I think, of being chosen last, of being guys and women both assuming that because we're shorter, that we're not as tough, we're not as masculine, you might say. Mm-hmm. And like you said, years and years of that can lead to some serious self-esteem issues.
Yeah, and then, you know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't feel good about yourself, then you start to hang back, and then you do get passed over and rejected, which just reinforces the low self-esteem, and it snowballs. But that didn't happen to you and your brother because you used your humor to help you integrate into the social circles, and also you had natural athletic ability. So you guys were luckier, I would say, than a lot of shorter guys.
Well, yeah. Now, we did have some dating disadvantages. That was the main thing in high school that we had trouble with regarding our height. We had a lot of friends. We were on sports teams. We did well academically. But the main problem was dating in high school, to be perfectly honest. That's where it really showed up. And whenever we couldn't get a date or didn't have a girlfriend, we always blamed our height, for sure.
Aw. You know, and the thing is, do you really believe it was true that shorter guys get passed over in the dating department?
Well, there actually is evidence from polls and stats that show that there is some truth to that. However, as my brother and I have studied the principles we've studied over the last few years and written books, most of the short guys that we interact with or meet online or work with as clients, usually there's a lot of other things going on besides their height that's keeping them from getting a date. It's kind of funny
because
yesterday I was watching a video. I found an old video of us from high school. And I looked at myself in that video and I thought, wow, no wonder I couldn't get a date. I mean, it wasn't just my height. My clothes didn't fit. I was wearing clothes that didn't look good. I was 30 pounds heavier than I am now. I was just looking at it, I thought, you know, I blame my height at the time, but there's a whole lot of other things going on there that caused me to be dateless at different times.
Absolutely. And it wasn't your height. But when you're starting to feel like crap about yourself and you begin to abdicate the throne, you know, and you stop taking care of your body and you don't wear the right clothes, now you just skunk people, you skunk women away, and then you use as your cover story, oh, it's because I'm short. When in fact, It's because I'm just skunking them away due to my demeanor, my clothing. It's not my height, you know?
Well, that's right. And I think sometimes, too, women will, they don't want to say you dress like a slob and you're lazy. So instead they say, you're too short for me. So sometimes guys will hear that as a reason when there's actually a lot of other reasons in there as well. But women, I think height is the least offensive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not like you look like a garbage pail. Your clothing's wrinkled. So
exactly,
we're going to take a brief break and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
To Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Do you want to transform your life's trauma and challenges into the gift that your life was meant to be? It's time for you to take control of your soul journey to heal, grow, and shine. Manifest your destiny with Wendy Wolf, soul transformer, energy, and psychic healer. To start your soul journey, contact Wendy at healgrowshine.com or email Wendy at wendy@wendyrwolf.com and start your adventure today.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Ali Katz. Join Ali and Dr. Pat as Ali introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Ali, visit ATOZENmeditation.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, so take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener, so if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the archive show on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Hello again. Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with David Bennett. about why size doesn't matter. And I'm not talking about the size of your male member. I'm talking about your height, just to be clear. So, David, before we took the break, we were talking about the negative experiences that guys do encounter in their dating life, right? And you were talking about studies that do confirm women pass guys over. But you were saying before we took the break, it's really not because of their height. It's because, like you said, in your case, you weren't dressing well. Your hair wasn't groomed properly. Now, do you think that that was because you were feeling kind of depressed about your height and so you just gave up?
Well, I think that, I mean, there are cases where women probably do pass guys up for their height. For example, online dating, there are women who will just pre-sort guys below a certain height. So, I mean, I think height is a real thing with this. For me, I think it was just being a clueless high school teenager, to be truthful, is what a lot of it was. You know, it's kind of funny when my brother and I meet with clients, we try to get them to think more in terms of being attractive as opposed to the other goals they might have in life. You don't hear a lot. Parents don't teach their kids, okay, this is attractive. This is something women like. This is something men like, for example. So, I mean, I was never told maybe I ought to wear a T-shirt that fits. You know, maybe I should wear some jeans that actually fit my body or, you know, or take care of my hair.
Why didn't your parents tell you, do you think?
Well, I think that what we find with a lot of our clients is just that a lot of people just assume attraction is some sort of huge mystery, and it just happens. Oh, you'll find someone nice someday. Just give it time. They don't think of attraction and this sort of thing as an actual science that you can do work on and improve on. Plus, a lot of guys are just clueless. You know, I may have been told those things, but I was more concerned about something else at the time, I'm sure.
Right. And, you know, this is a very interesting piece of research. You know, guys assume that women choose them because of their appearance, because of their height, when in actuality, apart from the young teens, very young people where they might be more driven by the outward appearance, the studies show that once you get past the really, really young years, women are not choosing men first and foremost on the basis of looks or height. They're looking for other qualities that would indicate the guy is going to be a good provider who's going to stick around and not abandon her and her offspring.
Exactly. I mean, I love hearing you say this because that's exactly what we teach. I mean, I think that one of the major mistakes that both sexes make is we assume the other person is thinking exactly like we do. So, like you said, guys assume, okay, women are concerned primarily about my physical appearance because, as we know, guys place a pretty big emphasis on that when determining attraction to a woman. So they don't really develop their personality. They'll go and spend an hour in the gym flexing, you know, working their biceps or something like that. When in reality, it's the personality is taking care of themselves. It's demonstrating to them that they have a value in their personality. They're excellent at something. They have status at something.
So even what you're saying is true that, you know, we do say this is a popular notion. Men fall in love first with their eyes and women fall in love first with their ears. But that said, most guys will tell you that when they really decide on a partner, it's not because of how she looks. It's because of how she makes him feel.
Well, that's right. You know, initial attraction can only get you so far. But a lot of guys make the mistake of not worrying about that initial attraction. You know, they don't think that. I think a lot of us were so socially clueless at times, guys especially. We don't look around and say, okay, what is that guy who's getting all those dates? What's he doing? You know, what's he saying? What's he doing? What's he doing that's impressing those women? That's part of what we do in our business is to figure out the science and even kind of modeling guys that are successful. Figuring out what are they doing that is attractive, that's leading them to get women, and what's the guy that's not getting any dates? What's he doing wrong, and what can he do to change that?
Absolutely. So let's talk about this because, you know, in my book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, I talk about what a woman needs to want a guy. And what she needs is something I call the relationship essential nutrients. And of course, they're different for men than they are for women. And if a guy is really good at giving a woman these essential nutrients, she will feel really bonded to him, no matter how tall he is. And he could be very tall and very handsome, but if he doesn't give her these essential nutrients, she's out of there, unless she's a masochist and a glutton for pain and punishment, which some women are. But so do you talk to your clients about what kind of feeling they need to give a woman in order to make her feel drawn to him?
Well, we teach different principles. We teach, for example, the importance of humor, the importance of being funny and relaxed, the importance of being assertive, actually. There's kind of a mistaken notion out there among guys that if they're passive and nice and they don't ever stand up to something, they don't ever give their true opinion, that that's going to make them more liked by a woman. What we believe and what we teach is that women actually like a guy who stands up for himself in an assertive way. They don't want guys who agree with everything they say if they don't actually agree with them.
That's right, because then it's, you know, I have to be able to respect you, and if you have no spine, how do I respect you?
Well, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
And you know, we know many women. We actually speak before female audiences as well. So we kind of, and I'm a teacher too, so I actually hear a lot of students feel comfortable talking to me, so I kind of hear stuff that they say. And I know for a fact that a lot of women, you're right, they don't respect spineless guys. And I hear about it a lot. I mean, they almost respect an assertive and maybe even a little bit too assertive guy more than they respect a guy who won't stand up for himself.
Right, because the trait, when a guy seems assertive, it conveys to a woman the feeling of he will protect me. He's tough. I know that I will be safe. So we're coming back to the relationship essential nutrients that I alluded to a second ago. That is, no matter how successful a woman is, no matter how much education you have, no matter how independent you are, that you could support yourself, we seem to be biologically programmed to want to receive a feeling of protection from a guy. That I know that I'm going to feel, I call it the two S's, safe and secure with you. And so when a guy is too wimpy and rolls over, I'm not feeling safe and secure. How do I know you're going to defend us and our homestead against some predator, you know? So.
Well, it's great to hear you say that, because that's exactly what we teach. That and it's not necessarily, you got to kind of phrase it carefully, because like you said, it can come across maybe the wrong way if you tell someone that, hey, women have this feeling of needing protected. So we have to be careful how we phrase it, you know, in the modern world. But you're exactly right. And that's why we emphasize to guys, look, you know, height is kind of our theory is that height is kind of a quick indicator of the ability to protect and the ability to provide for someone. So all things equal, if there's a short guy standing by a taller guy, it's possible that the taller guy will get the advantage just because, hey, he's big, he can protect me. So in a quick analysis, the tall guy wins.
Because if you're just going by the appearance and you think, oh, he's tall, he can protect me.
Yes, right? Exactly. But if you actually get to know the girl, and that's where we tell short guys, you've got to actually talk to women. You know, you got to get in there and talk to women, because you are at a disadvantage. At initial first looks, you're at a disadvantage. But you can get in there and show your confidence, show your ability to protect, show your intelligence and humor and charm. And at that point, if you can get in there and do that, you're going to show her that you have that ability to make her feel secure, through your body language.
Now, here's the thing that, you know, a lot of times guys will do what peacocks do. And it is part of the dating and mating ritual, you know, where the peacock puffs up his feathers and does a display. Look at me, look at me. So, you know, that is also hardwired into the male species to show off, to come in and tell jokes and be really slick and cool and all that. And that is great. But also, guys have to learn how to back up and pay attention to the woman and listen to her and be interested in her. Because if he's only just posturing and showing off, then it's off-putting to a woman, because it's like, wait a minute, I'm over here. Do you even see me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why that kind of impressing a woman has to be more about building rapport than it is about using stunts, for lack of a better word. You know, it's got to be about, in fact, one of our whole chapters in our book, Size Doesn't Matter, is about observing a woman, like just the power of observation. You know, during a conversation, most people give out tons of information about themselves. Even just looking at them, you can find out information about them. So it's very easy to just look at that person, hear what they're saying, and then find something that they've said, and then kind of take that and use that to connect with them. We don't want to turn guys into entertainers, and we talk about that a lot with them. You know, it's not about walking up to a girl and entertaining her, and certainly not showing off either. Because I mean, I as a teacher, I see plenty of teenage boys who just don't know when to quit with that type of behavior. It doesn't work, trust me, at all, to just show off.
It's gross. Women can't take it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something in the 30 seconds we have left. I went and gave a talk at the Bigger Game Expo a couple weeks ago, and this guy comes on to me and talk about the peacock showing off. He wasn't tall, but he was big in his personality, and the guy is saying to me, do you want to have a boyfriend? I mean, because I was talking about love never dies. Oh, wait, when we come back, I'll tell you the rest of the story.
Okay, great.
I'll leave it hanging, dude. Yeah. We'll be back in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Would you like to be a question with anything that comes up in your body or mind? Would you like to become totally aware and begin to function as the conscious being you truly are? Join Access Certified Facilitator Glenna Rice every month for a live teleclass where you can ask all of your questions and learn to create change in any aspect of your life. Visit GlennaRice.com today to learn more, and don't miss the next call. Join the questionable conversation today at GlennaRice.com.
Put a little
woo-hoo
in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little
woohoo
in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
In retirement, will you outlive your money? It's a common question for people approaching retirement, but it doesn't need to weigh on you. Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Jeff Packman about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get the real answers you need. Call Jeff Packman, financial advisor, today at 425-453-0272. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member of FINRA and SIPC.
Are you feeling broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune into the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community. Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Time. Talk Radio.
Clairvoyance, a gift few have.
And even fewer match the powers of one of America's best.
Dr. Linda Salvin. Dr. Linda's uncanny ability drills to the core of your issues to bring you quick and accurate answers and predictions. In more than two decades, Dr. Linda has helped over 75,000 people.
On national radio, by phone, in person.
When you need answers, Dr. Linda makes it clear. Book your time with this legendary seer now. Click on lindasalvin.com
or call 888-509-1077.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with David Bennett about why size doesn't matter. We're talking about vertical challenges rather than member size. So, David, before we took the break, I was telling you about how I had my own recent experience with a guy who was doing the puffed up peacock thing. I went to the Bigger Game Expo. I spoke after Liz Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love. And I come off stage and this guy descends upon me and says, "Don't you want to have a boyfriend?" And already I'm backing up, you know, I'm backing up. And he says, "You're adorable." And he started to follow me. And at the, you know, the break, I went into the lunch area to have a little lunch. And he sits down next to me and he begins to do the showing off thing. And I really wanted to speak to the woman who was sitting next to me, another presenter, about Love Never Dies and training my new coaches. And she's the head of the biggest coaches training. And I really wanted to talk shop with her. And I tell her that I'm doing my first retreat here at my home. And my home is on 1,000 acres. And then the guy hears that. And he says, "David, you live on 1,000 acres? He said, "Now I have to come and see you." And then he says, "And you know, I can last an hour. I am not joking." And talk about whipping it out. I mean, it was, I thought, am I having an auditory hallucination? Talk about showing off, right? That doesn't work.
Yeah, you got to ask him. You got to wonder, does that ever work? That's kind of what I'd want to ask.
Does that work, dude? I mean, I am not kidding you, because I was so offended that he got into my face like that, that I turned to the woman and I said, so that he could hear, "David, have you ever heard the vagina monologues?" I say this to her and she says, "No, what are they?" And I said, "Well, it's a woman who did a one-woman show on Broadway that actually got played all over the world, and it was supposedly the vagina speaking through her." And in one segment, she's talking about being sexually frustrated, and then the vagina says, "Help me." So I say to her, in response to what this guy said, "So, as the vagina monologues say, help me." And then I said, "Get me a chastity belt." And I thought maybe he'd get the hint, but he didn't.
You know, and that's funny, because I mean, that's one of the most original rejections I've ever heard, by the way. I got to tell you that.
I have to reach, David.
You know, guys, it's funny. You know, we talk to a lot of girls. I mean, as a teacher, I have students come to me and they'll say things like, you know, "This guy just will not get the hint." You know, it's hard to tell a girl how to make a guy get the hint, because if it's a really aggressive guy, I mean, if you hit him, he thinks you like him.
Yes.
If you fight back with him, he thinks you like him.
David, it goes on from there. Then he says, "I think you're young enough to still have a baby and I could give you a baby." He says this to me, David.
Oh, my goodness.
I say, "Well, that'll be the second immaculate conception."
You should have recorded this. You really should have.
I mean, come on. David, you're going to give mileage to this story of what Dr. Love did when a guy was...
I'm going to share that with some female clients and friends because they need to hear this. You know,
they need to hear what does Dr. Love say when somebody starts dry humping her leg?
That's right. Oh, man. Our clients could probably, I mean, they don't want to learn from that guy, but because that guy is way too creepy. And we actually have a whole chapter in our main book, Be Popular Now, about not being creepy, actually.
That's creepy.
That's a killer. But some of our clients could actually, and readers could probably use to at least look at that guy's boldness a little bit and obviously scale that back a lot. But he at least did talk to you. You know, we have guys who we've talked to who've literally never talked to a woman that they hadn't known for months already. They don't want to be like that guy. don't get me wrong.
You know, the thing is, people don't realize this, that men are scared of rejection. No matter how old you are, they're scared. And women could do a lot to make it easier on guys, you know, by giving some approachable body language, smiling, laughing at their jokes, you know, giving them the green light to make it a little easier because it's really hard on guys.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that because when we have sessions with women, we tell them that, you know, that guys, like you said, guys really are scared about approaching. And yeah. I don't think women fully understand the extent to which there's that fear there. If you go out to a club or anywhere really, and you see guys just kind of standing around, they're staring at you or staring at other girls, odds are pretty good in their head they want to approach and say something. We've known guys who wanted to talk to a crush for years and haven't had the guts to approach. They're a guy, and I think they did a poll one time where most guys are more likely to jump out of an airplane than they are to approach a girl in terms of the anxiety.
It is so difficult, right?
And like you said, women can open the door a little bit. You know, they don't have to approach the guy, but they can give the open body language. They might have to give it 3 or 4 times based on certain studies that you might be aware of that show that guys are kind of slow to pick up social cues sometimes. Women
exactly.
might have to give the open door multiple times. They might have to.
Exactly. I'm going to share with you one of my quickies. And these are...
Oh, really?
Yeah, these are little...
sorry.
Don't worry. You're safe.
Okay, good. There's no video on here, so probably good.
This is, my little 30-second spots.
Okay.
That are giving you little relationship tidbits. And this relates to what we're talking about how women can help guys and make it less scary. And this one's how going green can help your love life. And this is how this one goes. When it comes to love, Mary's about ready to give love the shove. Because no matter what she tries, men don't know that she's alive. And Mary's not lacking in the looks department either. If only Mary knew that going green could be just what she needs to spruce up her love life. And I'm not talking about joining Greenpeace. I'm talking about turning on what I call green lights, nonverbal signals that let a guy know you're ready to go. And even though it's widely believed that men make the first move, research proves that most guys won't approach a woman unless they know they're cleared for takeoff. So this means that if you want to switch your love life into high gear, you got to make your signal clear, flash your pearly whites, and turn on those green lights.
Excellent. It's great to hear you say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, my heart goes out to guys. It is not easy, and they take a lot of rejection. You know, they say that guys have thicker foreheads than women. The bones are actually thicker, and I think it's because you have to keep getting yourself, you know, hitting your head up on a lot of walls and getting a lot of rejection.
Well, see, my brother and I, we talk to a lot of short guys, even on different internet forums, just to kind of see what's going on. And it's kind of funny because a lot of them assume that even tall guys have tall guys, they can get a date like nothing. It's like they walk outside the door and there's women like throwing themselves at taller guys. And that's just not true. If a guy has a date or gets a lot of dates, he's probably, like you said, he's probably talking to a lot of women. He's probably getting a lot of rejections in there. And he's probably getting, you know, he's probably just not allowing his ego to get bruised. He's just slugging ahead, talking to women. You know, for the 3 dates that he might have gotten or the 3 numbers he got, he might have talked to 100 women to get those numbers.
So it's a numbers game.
It is to some degree, yes. A lot of guys who say, I can't get a date, they've asked one woman out, she said no, and they've given up. So it doesn't work that way. It is a numbers game. Absolutely.
You know, it's like Jack Canfield has this formula. He calls it some will, some won't. So what? Somebody's waiting. So when I was talking to him, I said, Jack, I'm just going to call it SW to the fourth power.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, in everything, in life, in love, you have to just keep going. When you get knocked down, you got to be like the whack-a-mole and you just got to bounce back up and try again and keep on going. You know, in dating, it's like casting a wide net. To me, internet dating is you cast a net and then you kind of see what the fishes are that wash up into your net. And you work through all the different pool of fishes and you just keep on trying. But when you're short, if your self-esteem is already shaky, then you have less tolerance for rejection. One person rejects you, you're like, oh, I can't do this, you know?
Well, you mentioned online dating. Now, online dating is an interesting thing for shorter guys. We actually recommend shorter guys avoid online dating to some degree. And the reason is that in the real world, you can approach a woman, talk to her, and win her over with your personality. The problem with online dating is that there seem to be more men online than there are women. And women get messaged a lot. You know, they did an interesting OkCupid study, and they found the most attractive women in their study, their inbox was literally filled up beyond its limit within a couple months from messages from guys. Even the woman they chose, whose picture they chose was considered the ugliest woman of all, got more messages from guys than the most attractive guy on their study got, as far as messages from women. So basically, what it showed is that women are getting a lot of messages online, which means they can sort through all but the most elite guys with online dating.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's not really how dating works in the real world, because in the real world, you can get to know a girl, you can impress her with your personality. So unfortunately, if you're shorter and a woman sees that on your profile, you might actually get kind of pre-sorted based on that.
Right. And so what you're saying seems contrary to the statistics where there are more single women than single men. You're saying it's the opposite here, that single women are really being bombarded with lots of choices on the internet dating front.
Well, I've read stats that show both, because they're kind of secretive about their numbers, I think, a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll go back into the saddle when we return on AskDrLove.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please, .com.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you've yearned to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book at AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You can submit your questions at AskDrLove.com, or if you're listening in real time, you can speak to Dr. Turndorf live by calling 800-930-2819. To listen live and download the free show app, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com. All shows are archived at TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with David Bennett about size and why it doesn't matter. So, David, before we took the break, we were talking about online dating and the statistics. And you said that they're not really letting the statistics out. And, you know, I found something out that was really shocking. For a brief interval, I did a little online dating. Mm-hmm. And because everybody said, Jamie, you live in the country. Where are you going to meet anybody? So I went on to Match, and every single guy that seemed suitable to me, you know, was educated, attractive, I would, you know, send a wink or something, and I never heard back. And I started to think, what do I have, like, you know, a booger on my nose or something? It was like, and I found out that these dating companies, including Match, post pictures of guys who are not even real as a come on to get you to sign up.
I've heard that as well. There's a lot of, there's a lot of fakes out there.
Right. And so then, you know, and somebody actually told me who worked for Match, these guys that are not answering you, they don't even exist. It's a come on to get you to sign up so that they can make the money. The guys that I heard from were con men, you know, freaks, frauds, fakes, you know, all that stuff. So that's another thing to keep in mind, you know. And remember, as Chris Rock said, when you go on a date, you're not meeting that person. You're really meeting his representative. Remember he said that?
Right. Yes. Yes.
So what do you think about authenticity and being your real self in your profile, you know, versus just showing off your accomplishments, but really allowing your personality and your authenticity to come through, not only in your profile online, but in your interaction face to face when you first meet?
Well, I might give slightly deviate from standard advice here a little bit. One of our chapters actually in our Be Popular Now book, which is kind of our main kind of social skills book, says, don't be yourself, be your best self. Mm-hmm. So we tell people, you know, it's okay to be yourself, but if yourself hasn't gotten a date ever, or yourself is repulsing every woman you meet, you know, you might want to look into changing certain things in your life. You know, if authentically you, so-called, is not brushing your teeth, not having good hygiene, spending 12 hours playing video games in the basement all day, I would recommend that you need to reinvent yourself a little bit if that's what's going on. Find other hobbies, find things that you enjoy that other people value a little more, start taking care of yourself. So for us, it's a balance between, you don't want to violate your values, your ethics, the things that you consider right and wrong. But on the other hand, as you know from some of the guests we've talked about that you've had, you also, self-improvement's a good thing. And everybody's on a journey, hopefully, toward making themselves better people. So find out who you are and become the best version of yourself. And I think that it's important to project that on your online profile. You don't want to lie, but you definitely want to project that you are an excellent, confident, relaxed, quality person. And there are different ways you can do that without coming across as bragging or seeming like you're showing off.
And I really like, you know, Bust Magazine asked me to do an article for them on how to create a profile that really conveys who you are. And without, you know, oversharing and without bragging. And I think it really helps when you give examples that instead of saying I'm a kind person, say on Sunday I volunteer at the homeless shelter. You know, something that shows who you are and what you do in a way that's real. And you don't have to use hyperbolic adjectives. You know, you just say what you do.
Exactly. I think that's a great suggestion, actually. That's great. That's great.
Right, right. And then the other thing is that you want to be very, very careful not to overshare in your wish to prove who you are. You know, it's really important too, right?
Or guys will send this, like, they don't even know a girl, and they'll send this long, rambling message about how all these things they have in common. And I mean, that just...
Hello.
I just turned one.
Okay, so that reeks of desperation. And
yes.
right before we came on, I was talking with that patient who I told you has always felt like a reject. He describes himself as the seven dwarfs. He's not tall. He's not handsome. He has always been passed over. But his thing, I really believe, is he turns women off because he's got a script in his head, nobody wants me. And you send out vibrationally a message, I'm a reject, who would want me? I'm hungry. I'm a beggar with a cup. It doesn't matter how tall you are. If you've got that feeling, you could be handsome, you could be tall, and nobody will want you.
And that's, you know, the foundation of our book, Size Doesn't Matter. The first couple chapters are about venting, getting it off your chest, that yes, being short has a disadvantage. And then around the third chapter, we just say, look, we acknowledge it and we're moving on. We're going to help you change your thinking patterns, change your brain to change your reality. Is what we teach. And you're exactly right. A guy could have identical twins, like my brother and I are actually identical twins. You could have one twin whose brain's been wired in a good way, another who's been wired in a bad way. Same genetics, same look, maybe even same career. They're going to see the world very differently based on their brain wiring.
And the world's going to see them very differently as a result.
Because, exactly.
You know, you could slime somebody away from you, skunk somebody away from you just because of how you feel about yourself. And if it's negative, I don't care if you are King Kong, muscular, or a giant, the green giant, doesn't matter. If you're tall, you're muscular, you will turn people off. So you have to really, really love yourself. It's like you reap what you sow. As within, so without, you know, whatever's inside is outside.
Well, look at like Tom Cruise. He's a short guy, but I guarantee Tom Cruise walks in a room thinking that every woman in this place wants to be with him, and he shows that confidence. There are hundreds and thousands of tall guys that I know who walk into a room and think that every woman's going to reject him. It's all about your attitude.
It's absolutely true. When I was an undergraduate at Vassar, this guy took me out, big, famous doctor, tall, wealthy. We sit down at the opera, and the first words out of his mouth were, well, you know, I've made a beautiful reservation at one of the best restaurants in New York, and afterward we're going to go to my place and have sex. This is what he says. And I'm thinking, in your dreams, dude, you know, I mean, but he was tall. He was wealthy. He didn't swing it. You know, I mean, this is the thing I hope everybody listening gets. That it's not the size of the wave. It's the motion of the ocean, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so we have 2 seconds. I want everybody to know how to find you. Give everybody your call letters, your book, everything else, okay?
Okay, you can come to thepopularman.com. That is our main website. Again, thepopularman.com. Our main book is Be Popular Now. It's our basic social skills book. About 250 pages. Our book we're talking about today is Size Doesn't Matter, the Short Man's Handbook of Dating and Relationship Success. They're both on Amazon.com. You can also find out more information on thepopularman.com.
Oh, well, I've really enjoyed having you. You're a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate you having me. This has been great. It's been really fun.
You've been really, really fun. So do you have one parting word of wisdom in the last 10 seconds?
Just for all the short guys out there listening, your height is a disadvantage, but there are things you can do, personality development, dress properly, multiple things you can do to make yourself more attractive and get in that relationship.
And there you have it. You heard it here from David Bennett, a guy who's really successful. He and his twin brother, not tall, but you've made success in your social life.
That's right. That's right.
All righty. So I'll see you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com and follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and Facebook.com/AskDrLove.